Okay, good morning. We're on page Kuf Chof. We're continuing the chapter on Chassidus. And the Rebbe has told us how Chassidus, as opposed to conventional wisdom that thinks that it takes people away from the study of Torah, rather it enhances the study of Torah. It's done during one's spare time and will improve on the quality of one's study of Torah. And the way he will come to explain that is by answering the question that we left off with yesterday, is that why are there so many people nowadays leaving Torah learning, which is the foundation of our connection to Hashem, and instead of that choosing much harder work that is so much more mundane and so physical and earthly. So we're 6 lines from the bottom on page Kuf Chaf. 6 lines from the bottom of Kuf Chaf. V'im gam es ha'pela hazeh banu lahavin. And if we also want to understand this wondrous thing, lama gam b'nei Torah. Why is it that the boys that are learning Torah, and all the more so the young married fellows, gami mi bnei Torah, are also learning Torah, hanichnasim lemischar, once they get into business, mizbatlin shos af yomim Torah below shum sibul apomim, they will nullify time from, and even days from, learning Torah, for without any good reason, from time to time. It's a business opportunity. The guy just drops his learning and just goes to work. And we'll have days go by without even opening a Gemara. And it's a guy who's been to yeshiva and he knows how to learn. Right? So if we can, you know, just add, you know, especially nowadays, you have a lot of boys who go through the Jewish system of Torah, even go to yeshiva for a couple of years, but then when they get into university mode and then into working mode, they just don't open the Gemara, period. Or very, very little. So what's going on? So he says, and ve'im sheyodim as divra medrash echa, and even if they know the midrash on echa that says sheviter hakadosh baruch hu lepoim al averes chamurus, God is willing to forgo a lot of our terrible sins. He's willing to, very strong ones, he's willing to forgo v'lo viter al ma'asa shel Torah, but he doesn't forgo the disdain that people show for Torah. If you show a disdain for Torah, God doesn't let that one go, and he punishes you for that. And still, they know that medrash. They still nullify their time from Torah. And even though much lighter averas, they're very careful about. They're very particular to have Chol Yisrael, which is definitely not as strong as this. They're careful about a lot of minute of relatively minor halachas, while this thing that God won't forgive you for showing disdain for Torah, that they show disdain for it by not learning it. When you don't learn it, it shows you have disdain for it. So what's the answer to all this? So now he explains. We're at the top of Kuf Chafal. Azroim Shadavro, so we see it must be for the following explanation. Mivnei sheteva ha'ish, the nature of the human being is, who, sheyoser mimash koach gufo machaziko, dato v'hanoso machzikimoso, that more than what one's brute physical strength is able to give the person the strength and the ability to get a job done, his knowledge and his pleasure, his intellect and his pleasure strengthen him more, which we will explain. Vavoda shenehena mimeno, and work that a person takes pleasure from, or shebedaato choshev shehena mimeno, or in his mind he thinks he's getting pleasure from, yachasi kocho laavda bekovad pi asor v'yoser, will give a person the strength to utilize his physical strength to serve Hashem in work that could be 10 times harder than anything else. Me'ashar avod achi kala, than any of the easiest work. She'ei nehen emenu, that he doesn't get pleasure from. V'lo yeda borim yarvich bo, and he's not sure he's going to gain anything from it. In other words, it's the old WIFM theory. Right? W-I-F-M. What's in it for me? WIFM. Right? What's in it for me? If a person senses that what the job that he's going to undertake, the activity he's going to begin, is going to give him a benefit of some sort, he's motivated to do it. And that motivation will give people the ability to do things that are 10 times harder than anything else. Or even if you just think you're going to gain from doing this. But if you don't think you're going to get anything out of it, then you're not, even if it's an easy job, you're not going to bother to do it. That's the old motivation theory. What's in it for me? What will I gain? He gives an example. Come on, Shomrim Ha'olam, as the world says, it was a common understanding that people always had. Shim yamidu as a ikor lena'anea as chermesho ve'ein kamo ve'esav l'fon of litzor. If you tell a guy, a farmer, to wave his sickle, wave your sickle, but there's no standing crops to cut, but just wave it. Right? But there's nothing to cut. So af chatzi shah lo yuchal, he can't even do it for half an hour. He can't do it. Kile, he's gonna get exhausted, he's gonna get tired from it. Vano asher lo mikotzro es kitziro, but the pleasure he has from cutting real wheat down, techazik es kochol avad gam kol hayom, will give him the strength to work a whole day long. You know, because he feels he's getting something out of this. Right? You know, if you give a bunch of boys a basketball with a net, they can play for 10 hours. Right? Give them the same basketball without a net. Some dribble. Pass. Shoot. But there's no net. They won't do it for 5 minutes. There's nothing in it for me. Right? Therefore, Lochena, a person has to always feel he's accomplishing something that's worthwhile that he will get pleasure out of. Or that will benefit him. Lochena, therefore, Ha'ish benefesh yavesha. A person has a dried out soul. As Torah Yomad, so when is he going to learn Torah? What's the wifim in learning Torah? You can ask yourselves that. Why are you learning Torah? Right? So if you're going to say, well, you know what? I learn it. Rak bizman shechoshev shearviach bo. Only when I think I'm going to gain from it. If I gain from it, I'm going to learn. For example, what could be the possible benefits of learning Torah? Im kakardam lach barba, if I can turn it into an axe to chop with. In other words, there's a direct benefit in non-spiritual ways. Right? Ostamer in German, may she skabid bein anashim, or that he will be honored in the eyes of people. These are all shalolishma reasons, non-altruistic reasons. You know, if I learn Torah, I'm going to be smart. People will honor me. I'm a scholar. And I like the honor that people give me for being a scholar. Or he could use it to cut down people. He's so smart. Whenever the rabbi speaks, he could show the rabbi's wrong. Ooh, see how smart I am. Or he can tell other people, you're not religious. I'm religious. I'm more religious than you. They're all externally motivating things, but they're not intrinsic to Torah learning. So, if you have a dried out soul, so you're going to learn Torah whenever you think you're going to get anything out of it. Right? But the problem is, to our concern and worry in this generation, the honor of Torah has been diminished. You know, you don't get a lot of honor if you know Torah nowadays. You know, how much are your relatives going to say? Your friends going to say, Comanche, if I got in front of the shul and I honored somebody in our shul because they learn a lot of Torah, no one's going to really think much of it. You know, they're not going to come over to him afterwards. Wow, that was, during Kish. Wow, that was amazing. You finished the whole Masecht of Shas. Wow. You know, unless he did the whole Shas. Nobody thinks it's a big deal. You know, you didn't accomplish very much. And the person knows he's not going to get a lot of honor for learning it. So why in the world would someone want to learn Torah? Right? L'chein badar hatzair. So, therefore, in this young generation, Af im rotza mimeham lilmod, even if someone wants to learn, yila lovda, he's going to get tired with its work. Im yav shanafsha, if his soul is dry. Since there's no real pleasure and no understanding that he has what to gain from it, because those are the things shechaziko, so that give him the strength to continue. And even when he does learn, he only learns it b'shitchias, superficially. Chasar onim hu milisamets, he lacks the strength to fortify himself with lahamik, to go deeper. V'sachta, in his place, what does he choose to get involved with? Yivchar b'avoda kufanis kasha, he'll choose to get involved in physically taxing hard work. And in that, he's able to, strengthen himself through this hard work. Why? Because he thinks it will benefit him. So why do you do such a good job at your jobs? And working in the workplace is much more miserable than learning in front of a Gemara. Right? Why do you do that? Because you know you're going to benefit. You're going to make money. And that's important to you. That's real. I work hard because this is what I get. I get money, which gives me a house, which gives me comfort, which gives me a sports car, which gives me this, which gives me that. Those are things I value. That's what I want. And I'll work for the worst boss. And life is miserable there, but the pay isn't bad. And that's what I'm going to do. And the very hard work. Why? Because that's what's in it for me. While to learn Torah, there's really not much in it for me. And I can't perceive I'm really gaining very much in it. Right? That's the real answer. That's why people don't learn Torah. Right? Even if you're brought up in a nice religious home. But what does the kid get out of it? What does the young adult, what does the adult get out of it? What's the perceived benefit that I'm getting from learning Torah? Right? So you're going to tell them, Olam Haba? You know, I don't know. Yeah, maybe, but it's hard to stay motivated for something that's coming many, many, many years later. When I go to work, at the end of the month, I get a few $1,000, and that is real. That's a real benefit. Olam Haba, I don't know. Yeah, I believe it, but if I get it every month, if I got to get it from my boss, he'd give me a chunk of Olam Haba checks, and I could take it to the spiritual bank, and I could get a pleasure, immediate pleasure, then I'd perceive it. But I don't perceive any benefits in this. So why bother? That's the bottom line. That's when you have a dry soul. So a dry soul, if the benefits are great, okay. So Taka, little kids have dry souls, so we gotta Taka persuade them. Give them prizes. It works for a while. You get a good prize, do real good in your studies. Gonna give you a big prize in Hanukkah time. They'll learn. And it'll keep them going to a point. But then it gets to a point where you can't give any more prizes. You know, by the time the kids, whatever, I don't know, 11, 12, 13, 18, whatever it is, there's no prizes you can give them anymore. What are you going to tell them? You're going to be a rabbi one day? Big deal. Everybody else values other things. So a dry soul has nothing to push yourself to do it. So you do it out of guilt sometimes. I know I should do it. The rabbi says it's important. I'm feeling guilty. Okay, so you do it to be yitzhazai, you do it to fulfill your obligation, which you always do a minimal amount. So you feel good about it, but you really don't think you're getting a lot out of it. Right? It's awfully quiet. Okay, so let's continue. So that's the problem. So here's where Chassidus kicks in. This is where the difference happens, and this is where a real Chassid will be able to continue to learn with excitement. Lochein atem talmide, but not you, such students. Kasher bidarche hachasidus tistaglu. When you become more accustomed and more mesugal. More capable, let's say, capable in chasidus. Navshechem tisorir. Your souls will arouse, v'tiskale, and be revealed. Remember, that's what Chassidus is all about. To get the soul revealed. It's the, just like prophecy comes, and it's an unbelievable feeling. When the neshama comes out, it's an unbelievable feeling. Nitzotzei ha-Gan Eden b'chem yavriku. The sparks of Gan Eden will shine from you. es hakdosh Yisrael asher b'Torah, the holiness of Yisrael, meaning Hashem, which is in Torah, targishu, the soul will feel it. Umiziv shchinaso tishanou, and from the splendor of His divine presence, you will take pleasure in. Imagine if your neshama is alive, the neshama takes unbelievable pleasure in learning Gemara. Unbelievable pleasure, as you'll explain why. Because you're connecting to Hashem. You find the Hashem in the Torah. That's the Gan Eden that you find in the Torah that I don't think any of you, of us, has yet accomplished. Alright? So we're doing it all with faith. But it only goes so far. And this is your reward. And that's how your strength gets stronger. Next page. And you strengthen yourself. You learn many hours in great depth. You get, that's the pleasure you gotta get. And even, you know, the spiritual person needs motivation. Everybody needs, you gotta feel you're getting something out of it. So, you know what you get out of? Your mamish get out. You feel like you're tasting Hashem. That's unbelievable. That is going to the bank, getting the withdrawal. Your mamish feeling the pleasure of the closeness to Hashem. That's which we tell you to wait in Olam Haba, which will come in the greatest way, the most unmitigated way. But here it comes as well. If your soul is open and it's, you're in touch with it, it's revealed. That is the pleasure that you're going to get out of this, right? When you're able to taste that Gan Eden in the learning of Torah. So Al Tadamu, and don't think Shetoyin on Olema, we're making a mistake to say Shad Meheret Isapchu LeAnshe Kodesh LeMotar LeShmo B'Lo Shum Tikful Kabel Pras. Don't think that we're expecting you right away to turn into holy people. You're going to learn Torah altruistically without any hope of getting any tangible prizes. No. Lo laharviach, but not to get any profit out of it. Afloli skabi, but not to get honor from it. Shiraka tzadikim agadolim zochim, that only righteous tzadikim merit this. Ain't on the time. We're not making such a mistake. We don't think we're going to transform you into unbelievable tzadikim overnight. Avoldayma adavar, but the thing appears like this. Love shoiv esbino. There's a father who loves his son. Umerov avaso roa bo harbi malos. And because he loves his son so much, he sees so many of his virtues. Until he gets to the point where he doesn't understand why other people don't appreciate him for those virtues. And you have a parent who thinks his kid's great. I don't understand why nobody else thinks my kid's great. I think he's unbelievable. And truth it could be, she got malachas mikalel embo, and even all the virtues that the parent thinks that the kid has, he doesn't even have any of them. But the parent still thinks he's virtuous. So why is that happening? Why does a parent see virtue in a child that doesn't exist? You ask an objective person, is this boy very smart? No, not really. And they take tests and he's talking not so smart. The parent thinks, wow, he's so clever. He's such a smart kid. Why? The answer is, Rak Avas Navsho Penimo, his inner soulful love, Mislabeshes Bemocho, gets dressed up into his brains. Umagoras Daitilatovas Bno, which forces his mind, incites his mind to look at the good of his child. Shirbo Malastovas, to see all the good things over there. Right? So therefore the same thing he's gonna say happens can happen with us. So in other words, logically the parent, there really is nothing great in that kid. But the love that the parent has for the kid is so strong, it takes over his mind. And it convinces him that the kid is a wonderful kid. Right? So now, how does this apply to us? Ukadvor me'ela, and similarly, hein batora, in Torah, yeshnan kol tikvas hatovas afagufanias. Torah really has all hoped for benefits, even physical benefits. Everything is in Torah. Avalobi shvilan atahoga afkosherba, but the truth is, not for those reasons do you study it, are you tied to it? That's not the real reason. And even if in your mind you think it's only for those benefits you're tied to Torah. But what's the foundation of the way you're looking at things and the foundation of the hopes that you have from Torah? Is really something else. is really ahavas lavis kashus nafshcha b'tori. It really is the love and connection that your soul has for the Torah. Inside your neshama, unbeknownst to you, loves Torah. Loves it. If you ever could find that neshama inside of you, and it could ever talk to you, you'd know how much you love it. But you're unaware. But still, asher tislabish b'mochecha, it dresses up, gets enclosed in your brains, usagaris daitcha, and it incites your intellect, letovas atar, for the good of the Torah, shetiraba, that it sees in it, raktuv, only good, gam gufanius, even physical good. It only sees good in Torah. Right? That is really what the neshama is capable of doing. Now, hey, Nemes, the truth is, shet tzaddikim ha-gedolim, asher gamas nafsham, gamas gufum kutshum, that the truth is really big, great tzaddikim, that even their souls and their bodies are sanctified. And their souls and their intellects are given over for Torah and Avodas Hashem. It's why, rak bishvil avosam latorah v'avoda yilmudu v'yavdu. Just because of their love for Torah and the service of Hashem, they learn and they serve Hashem. And that tzaddikim taka perceive it truly the way it is. Aval ata bachur, but you, the bachur, young fellow, she'od bedas moach gufcha, but with your intellect and your brains and your body, your physical manifestation of this, as asmucha teda v'tova asmucha v'gufcha tachshov, you only think about your own interests. L'chein gam avas nafshecha penim asher l'tor v'os Hashem, and therefore the love of your inner soulful love for Torah and service Hashem, b'mochecha b'machshoves v'tas asmucha yislavish, can get dressed up in your thoughts for your own self, liris b'malos v'tikva satova s'lecha, to see the virtues that are for you, v'gam b'shalo lishma s'lecha, even with the non-altruistic desires, halishma melubeshes, the altruistic desires getting clothed in it. In other words, what he's saying is an interesting phenomena. Since your soul really loves Torah, it jumps into your less spiritual realm and is able to activate a love for it for non-altruistic reasons. That's what it's bringing out. Just like a parent who loves the child, and that love is so strong and so deep, and it's an emes of love. It's a real love. So what happens? It spills over into areas that are not logical. When there's a real love for someone, right? You love your kid, right? And it's not really a deserved love. It's not an honest love. You know, what did the kid do to deserve it? Nothing. But that's the bias that the parent has. It suits the parent. The parent loves to love their kid. That's the way it is. It's a parent's pleasure to love their kid. It's not logical, but that's what the parent wants, to have a child that they love, wants to have a child that they think is great. And they have that love. It's very deep, that love. That love now spills over into areas which are not necessarily the most logical. And to say, oh, he's smart, he's a genius, he's this, look what he does, look how clever he is, blah, 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 all these things. It's not, that's not the emes. But as far as the parents concerned, that's all that's there. The same thing, your neshama's love for Torah and for Hashem, that's a pure love. And it transcends logic. It transcends logic. It's a connection. That neshama is connected to Hashem in the deepest. It's the closest creation to Hashem. Right? What's the closest creation to you? It's not your kid. There's nothing else that's closer to you. That's part of you. You can't separate yourself from your kid. That's why you love it so much. Your neshama loves Hashem. It can't separate itself from Hashem because it's the closest connection to Hashem. It's not a logical thing. It's reality. Both. Hashem is Torah. It's manifested in the Torah. The neshama loves it all. Loves it all. So now it will spill forth. Even if you're not, the parent isn't thinking. You're not thinking, why do I love my kid? What's it from? This and that. It's there. Finished. It could be even subconscious. But it spills forth. So your neshama really loves Hashem. So there are times in which it could just spill forth. It just spills forth into areas that are not logical. I want to get honor, I want to get this, I want to get that. That's not the real reason to learn Torah. Those are the illogical reasons to learn Torah. But it can happen.
So is this explain what the Gemara says?
That's what he's going to get to in a minute. Next slide. Okay. Exactly. Hold on. It's coming. Right? So he's saying, so even in the Shalolishma, even in the non-altruistic, that's where the altruistic puts its clothes on. It's where it manifests itself. When he says puts its clothes, it means where does it manifest itself? In other words, because it's so strong, it just spills over into other areas. So what he's saying is, you don't got to wait till you're the biggest tzaddik in the world to enjoy the learning of Torah. Your neshama already wants to learn Torah. Your neshama right now, your neshama is starving to come close to Hashem. It's dying for it. It's so powerful, and you're just not aware of it. You're not consciously aware of it, but subconsciously it's still doing a number on you. And therefore it spills over if you give it any kind of a chance. It will spill over and it will get you to learn for not the altruistic reasons, but it's stemming from the altruistic reasons that are subconscious to you. It's a very deep thing the Rebbe's saying over here. And obviously you have to let that happen. And we'll see what that's going to depend on a lot. But that's the realities that's going on over here. So we're thinking, not only when I'm a big, great tzaddik and a holy Rebbe, and my neshama's open. So that's true. When your neshama's really open, then your mamish, it's gonna be so easy. You know, for a real tzaddik, it ain't hard for him to learn Torah. He loves it. Because he senses Hashem every time he's learning it. Mamish, consciously sensing it. It's not a big deal for a tzaddik to learn hours and hours and hours. That's what he wants to do. So what does Hashem do? He makes him such a big tzaddik that the whole world has to learn from him, has to be nourished from him. He's busy all day giving brachas to people. He doesn't have any time to learn Torah. He's trying to find time to learn Torah. And he has to give up that because there's more important things he has to do for Klal Yisrael. So that's his pain. The Gadol in Torah wants to just, leave me alone, let me just learn Torah. It's such a pleasure for me. But that would be selfish, you see. That'd be selfish, because he'd be abandoning the rest of the Jewish people. The Jewish people need to have rebbes. So the rebbe has to give of himself. And he talks to people who are very simple and very mundane and plain and not so intellectual, who aren't into Torah, but they just want to know, I need Parnassa. Rebbe, I don't have enough money. Give me a bracha for my Rebbe. He's saying to himself, what do you need the money for? But he knows this Jew, that's what's important to him. He won't be happy if he has certain money. He won't be able to be an Oved Hashem. So, the Rebbe tries to cleverly give him the bracha in a way that he'll love Hashem. He's got to spend his whole day long with people who are way below him. And what would you rather do? Just sit and learn. Because that's the real pleasure. So that's the Yetzer Hara that the great rabbis have. The Yetzer is to abandon the people and learn Torah. So that, you're not going to be that tomorrow. You say, okay, if I fell that way, it would be easy for me. You think I'm going to be that way overnight? No, we don't expect you to be that way overnight. You're a regular guy. Right? But the truth of the matter is, he's saying, just like the parent loves the child for reasons that don't make sense, but the love is so strong, it's so deeply rooted in the parent, it makes him biased, and he focuses on realities that really aren't true. So the same thing, the love of your neshama for Hashem is so strong, it will just spill forth in an area where you're going to just feel the love in areas that really aren't true. I love Torah because I'm going to be called a smart person. I love Torah because I like knowledge. That's not why you're supposed to learn Torah, but it's just going to spill over into those areas. And you're going to love it for quote unquote the wrong reasons. Just like the parent who's loving his child for the wrong reasons. Even though he's loving his child for the wrong reasons, but deep down the right reason is there. And deep down, when you're learning Torah for the wrong reasons, but deep down the right reason is there. So now, let me just finish this point, then you can take your questions. So now he says, maybe the rabbis were hinting to this when they said the famous statement, La'olam yasak adam b'torah misas af shalolishma.
Right.
A person should always engage himself in learning Torah mitzvahs, even not for the sake of Torah, not for altruistic reasons. Why? Shemitok shalolishma b'olishma. Because from learning it for not altruistic reasons, you will come to learning it for altruistic reasons. So the simple meaning is always, Just keep learning. Keep learning for a prize. Keep learning for this. Keep learning for honor. Eventually it'll come. You'll do it for learning for the right reasons. Eventually. That's the way we normally understand this. So the Rebbe's, this is the, what you call like the Hasidic pshat now. What I told you now is the pshat. That is the pshat. That is the main pasha pshat. But what's the hidden layer that the Rebbe is revealing to you? So he says, Tevas ba. What's the word ba coming to tell us? Ba. What does ba mean? Comes. Shemitoch shalo lishma ba lishma. What's this coming? So koi al halishma comes is referring to the word lishma, which means kilu hayu kasuv ba'a, as if it writes is coming or came, meaning to say be'eze shalo lishma yasuk, that with whatever the non-altruistic reason is why you're engaged in Torah, bezo in that non-altruistic, shigam halishma ba'ima, the altruistic comes along with it. V'tamun ba, but it's buried inside the person, it's hidden in the person. Shemitok shoshma, that what's inside, when we're saying, should always learn lishma, shemitok, mitok's a funny word. What does mitoch really mean in conventional Hebrew? Mitoch.
From within.
Shem mitoch, from within. Now the way we translate shem mitoch, from, coming forth from shalol lishma will come lishma. But the simplest reading is mitoch from inside of lishma. Is so the inside of the shalol lishma is the lishma. In other words, always learn shalol lishma. Why? Because there's lishma at the same time buried underneath that you're not aware of yet. That's where it's really coming from. As long as you're learning, learn anything. But in that learning, there is always a lishma. That neshama of yours is loving it, and your neshama is connected for no other reason than it just loves Hashem. So your neshama is learning lishma. Every time you learn shalol lishma, on the superficial external level, the non-altruistic learning that you do consciously is always accompanied with a subconscious altruistic learning that the neshama is engaged in. That's a very, very powerful concept. And you see the opposite. So that's a person where the neshama is somewhere deeply in the right place. Now you have the opposite. Hein yesh gam lehepech. You have the opposite. Yesh ish shemedama b'dayta shalomed lishma. There's some people who think they are learning altruistically. Umarama hu asaso, and they fool themselves. V'yesod limuda machshava pnimis lasmi. But really the foundation of their learning are really internally selfish, totally, deeply selfish. Now, so that's very interesting now. You got some people who it's the opposite. The real reason is only selfish. You haven't even touched your neshama on any level. And you think you're doing it altruistically, but you're really not doing it altruistically. So now how can you tell the difference? And what's the way we could tell? Are you really, really lishma, or really, really not lishma? It's like this. Ish belishma maruma. Someone who is falsely learning it lishma. Disguised as lishma, but not really lishma. Shepe pnimiyuso machshav l'tzarechas, but really deep, deep, he's doing just for himself, for honor, for whatever. Kasher be'emes techtan negiyaso. When the negiya, when the bias stops, when the non-altruistic reason no longer exists, and he sees he's not going to gain so much from learning it, or if he thinks from some other business to separate them, he'll gain more. He'll quickly throw away the learning with the false lishma that he had. Right? I'm learning because I really think it's, I'm learning because I love Hashem. Okay, we'll see. Here's a $1 million deal. How much do you love Hashem? Wow, you know, that's different. Right? All of a sudden, goodbye. Here, you've been learning Torah all your life, but here, if you go into, I'll put you in a corporate office, give you $1 million a year, how much you want to learn Torah? Forget it. I'm there. Right? Just drops it at the drop of a hat. So as much as he thinks he was doing it lishma, he wasn't doing it lishma at all. So right away, he'll cast it off. Aval Talmid shemiskasher bipnimiyuso. It's a very interesting, but a student who connects in depth, but even though externally he thinks it's shalol lishma, but really deep down it is lishma, he won't stop learning it even if any physical promises stop. It doesn't matter if he contrives other biases or not, makes them up. Yishar kosh l'Torah, he is connected to Torah, v'od Yosef l'yiskasher tamid Yosef, and he'll get connected deeper and deeper and deeper. So, what the Rebbe is saying, and he still has more to explain, because you have to say, how do we get to this point? But he's saying, a student who is really connected l'shma, subconsciously, even though it reveals itself consciously in material ways, even when the material way, all of a sudden, when the material reasons are gone, he finds himself still learning. He finds himself still learning because deep down the neshama is connected in ways that that he relates to on some kind of subconscious level, while the other guy, even on the subconscious level, is not related to. In other words, it comes out there's different levels. We all have the neshama inside of us. We all have the neshama that's on fire, that's loving it. But the question is, are we connected to it on some level, or are we not even connected to it on any level? That's what the Rebbe is saying. There's some people who are so far removed from their neshama, they just don't feel it at all. It's not there. Even on a subconscious level, it's not happening. That's what can be existing. So you think you're a big tzaddik and you're learning neshama. How can we tell when it's a fall? I'm doing because it's the will of Hashem and I love Hashem. He says all that. But the truth is, that's not at all. It's not at all. And what is it? It's one thing. He's getting glory for it. So we'll know very quickly. As soon as there's an opportunity for no glory, but a different pleasure, he drops it. While other guys could say, you know, I'm learning it, you know, let's say he's learning it because, let's say he's in a kolo and they pay him to be in the kolo. They pay him to be in the kolo. So he said, well, you know, this kolo pays me, so it's, I can still make a living doing it. I'm going to do it. Right? And then all of a sudden the kolo stops paying him. Well, certain guys will still keep learning. Why? Because deep down the neshama is, that's where he was connected. Mm. He didn't realize it. And only when he loses the money does he realize that that's how deeply he was connected. So now the question is, how do you get connected even in ways that you don't yet feel totally connected? That's what, anyways, it seems to be three levels here. It seems to be three levels here. You got the tzaddik. The tzaddik, him and his soul are like this. It's just transparent. He mamish senses the neshama in as much as you sense your breakfast. He senses his neshama. So there it says mamish. Every time he's learning, that's the only thing he's sensing. This tremendous spirit, that's mamish lishma. That's mamish lishma. He's doing it for the sake of learning because that learning, oh, his neshama eats it up. That's mamish tzaddik. There's no challenges, so to speak, when it comes to learning Torah. Hashem gives him other challenges and he's there. All right? Mirtz Hashem, one day we'll be there. Okay, we're not there yet. Then you got, on the other extreme, the guy who's b'chalal not there. He's not touched his neshama at all. But he thinks he's doing it for the right reasons. He's fooling himself. I'm doing it because it's a wonderful mitzvah, and I love Hashem, and this and that. But the truth of the matter is, there's other reasons that you're doing it that you don't even realize. You're doing it because you get a lot of honor for it. You've always been good. And when you're a young kid in school, the teacher always praised you and you got praises. And as you got older, you got prizes and you liked it, you liked it, you liked it, you liked it. It came easy. It was easy for you to learn. Other things weren't as enjoyable. And really, it was because you only did it because of the honor and the pleasure you got out of it. The external pleasure, the intellectual pleasure, not the neshama pleasure. But you always thought you were spiritual, but really you weren't. What happens? Someone dangles in front of you some money. Boom, you're out of there. Okay. And then you got the person who is connected to his neshama in certain subconscious ways, and that connection is promoting that that love, and that spills forth into other not logical reasons, true reasons to learn Torah, and that keeps you going. It spills forth. Hey, I'm doing it because I'm getting some honor, and he realizes he's getting some honor for it. But deep down, subconsciously, he really has that connection, and that connection never really leaves him. And even when altruistic reasons are out, the deeper reasons then begin to surface within the person. So how does that happen? Right? How does that happen? That happens when the guy's starting to learn this Chassidus. He's starting. Once you're starting, and you're doing a few of the things, you're talking about Hashem, and you start meditating with Hashem, and the Neshama is beginning, although you haven't felt it strong, it hasn't come right out of the works. But you're working on, you're saying it, and you're struggling with it. It's already beginning to get activated. On subconscious levels, it really is happening without your realization. That's what the Rebbe is saying over here. And that's what's going to keep you with learning Torah.
That $1 million deal comes along. I mean, that's the whole point. How do you get over that?
So he's saying because you've activated your soul in certain ways that you don't realize that you've activated it.
But that's the first stage in any case, even with the tzaddik.
No.
That's how he started. Or did he start at a
No, the tzaddik started that way. You know, but he's worked on himself to make it more to the conscious level.
Circumstances that he benefited because the $1 million deal didn't come along, so he could continue. A guy who has to stop because of the $1 million, that's it, he's finished.
So we're saying those are two extremes, and there's a middle level. The middle level is where your work in Torah and in Chassidus has begun to activate your neshama on levels that you're unaware of.
Yeah.
So he's saying. If you got this far in the book, you've already gotten to the first stage. You've gotten to the first stage. If you're already starting to spend time talking to Hashem, if you're spending your spare 15 minutes talking to Hashem and sharing your problems with Him, you are engaging your neshama even on levels that you're unaware of.
Circumstances bring the $1 million right at this point.
It depends how. So that's why what you have to do is to ensure that the young fellow isn't confronted with that at such a young age. That's what he said earlier in the book. When children are very little, they're very open and pliable. You have to make sure they're not watching TV. They're not looking at all the other things. Because if they will, they're going to want those other things. You got to be careful. Keep the kid away from those superficial pleasures. Because he will fall into them. You got to keep him high, shield him. Till the neshama, it's activated enough that the kid perceives the benefits of the neshama more so than that. That's what you have to work on. You're right. That's what he said earlier in the book. Without that, you have problems. Okay, we're going to have to continue. We're not finished. We're in the middle of a point, and we got to see more where this Chassidus is taking us to learn more Torah. But the key we already see is when it activates the neshama. Once the neshama is activated and senses the pleasure of Torah learning, then there's nothing. That's the greatest pleasure. That is the greatest self-motivator. Okay, we'll continue this tomorrow.